Hi, I'm Dr. Arthur Smith of the Seligman Medical Institute, or SMI, the foundation sponsoring this MindBody podcast series. SMI is devoted to research in mind-body medicine and specifically evaluating the tension myositis syndrome, or TMS. This diagnosis for back pain and other disorders was first described by Dr. John Sarno, who has authored several books on this subject. TMS is a diagnosis that connects the mind and body in chronic pain. Please note that TMS can only be definitively diagnosed by a qualified physician. This podcast is not intended to serve as a substitute for proper medical advice or treatment. Today, we will be discussing psychological issues and factors in chronic pain with two doctors treating TMS in the Los Angeles area, Dr. David Schechter, a physician, and Dr. Arlen Ring, a psychologist. Dr. Schechter.
Dr. Smith, thank you for that introduction. You know, it's a pleasure today to be speaking with a psychologist who has worked with me over the last 4 years helping patients with tension myositis syndrome. Tension myositis syndrome, or TMS, which I also call distraction pain syndrome, or DPS, is a condition that I regularly see in my medical practice. And these are individuals who have pain. They feel physical pain in their back, their neck, sometimes in other parts of their body. But I diagnose them as suffering from a physical pain problem that's ultimately caused and triggered by emotions, by psychology, by stress, by personality factors. And some of these individuals are able to solve the mysteries of this mind-body connection by using a home educational program and seeing me in the office a few times. But there are other individuals whose problems are a little bit more complex and who need a little more in-depth insight and analysis. And for that, I rely on a number of excellent TMS psychologists in the Los Angeles area. One of the very best is Dr. Arlen Ring, who is here with me today. And we're going to discuss a couple of case examples of people that we've treated and helped to get better. And we're going to discuss some of the theory behind this to educate the population at large about this condition. Dr. Ring, pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Dr. Schechter. Well, a pretty sizable number of people who have what I would call a herniated psyche, as opposed to a herniated disc as the root of their physical problem, seem to be able to overcome the pain by really understanding the process. So for them, it's an educational process, and Dr. Schechter is able to provide that. But some people, even when they understand the process, the emotions underneath are very difficult and complex and need a certain amount of wrestling with to come to grips with and alleviate the pain. And so that's where I come in. And I've prepared a couple of summaries of people that I've worked with. I've changed the name to not compromise anybody's privacy. But I'd like to just tell you about a couple of people in the hope that it'll make the process more clear. Okay. Carlos. Carlos was a 36-year-old engineer who had been bothered with back pain and wrist pain since age 23. It's noteworthy that both his parents were orthopedic surgeons, and so he was given extremely thorough diagnostic procedures. Nothing physical was ever found that would account for the pain. In June of 94, he got a severe back spasm and never really recovered until reading Dr. John Sarno's book on healing the back, which resulted in him having about 85% reduction of his symptoms. He came to me wanting to work on the other 15% and also to protect himself against a recurrence of the pain. It was interesting that he pointed out how his parents, being surgeons, had conditioned him to assume that back pain just had to be structural. Well, we met a total of 17 times. In talking about his history, I was immediately struck by the fact that the back pain originally came on when he was in college and having a hard time adjusting. Although he was ultimately successful in college, the experience left him very fearful of further pain. I could see while we were together that he was bracing or tightening up severely upon the thought of any physical pain. The irony of this is that the bracing that's meant to protect against pain brings it on. You know, one way to understand that might be if you're afraid of needles, if you hate to get an immunization and you really tighten up your arm when the needle comes towards you, you end up feeling much greater pain than if you could somehow relax into it. And I find that's the case once somebody has experienced this psychological pain, that bracing into it is a problem. Anyway, Carlos described himself as a workaholic. When he would get home from long work days, he would want to relax and very much resented any attention that his wife or two small children would want from him. He would lose control and explode at his family, which would lead to guilt on his part and emotional distance between them. He was so on edge that his younger child dropping a spoon could set him off into anger. He did not tend to see himself as an angry person, however. He just believed that he shouldn't have to deal with any problems at home after work. As we worked together, I became convinced that his 85% improvement through reading Dr. Sarno corresponded to Carlos himself being about 85% convinced that his pain was based on tension myositis syndrome. I also felt that he had become so apprehensive about further pain that he was bringing it on through his tensing up. We worked on recognizing when he was bracing his muscles. With my help, he mastered a number of ways to let go instead of tensing, to reduce musculoskeletal bracing before it could lead to spasm. As we explored the timing of various episodes of pain he was currently having and had experienced in the past, the pattern of pain following emotional upset became so obvious that he became a 100% believer that his pain was tension myositis syndrome. At the same time, he started to get a better grasp on how his perfectionism and intolerance had affected his relationship with his wife and children. He started to ease off on them, with the result that his home life became more rewarding and less likely to send him into pain and spasm. He also became convinced that anxiety was a substitute tension myositis syndrome, and as with the physical pain, he began to relate to it as a way his brain had been distracting him from difficult-to-handle feelings. He started addressing the underlying feelings when he got anxious. When last I saw him, he was mostly pain-free and aware that there was nothing wrong with his body.
Now, Dr. Ring, that's a fascinating case history. And for the listeners today, there's a couple of points in this case that are common to a lot of the individuals we deal with. And some of them are unique to this particular person. One thing that's interesting is that both of his parents were orthopedic surgeons. And so he was used to having his problems attended to, but specifically they would look for structural explanations for the pain. In this case, he had had a full workup and there was no evidence of anything in the structural area. Another issue that's interesting is that he had a long pattern of physical pain. Many people come to me specifically for tension myositis syndrome or learn about this condition through one of the books written about it after having suffered for many years from physical pain. When I thought about that, I realized that it often takes many years of suffering and a trial of different types of conventional and alternative treatments before a person is willing to look at this within the context of a different paradigm, a mind-body paradigm. Another important issue here is that the individual had pain for 20 years and was better in 17 sessions of therapy. When we talk about psychotherapy, people often feel they'll be in therapy forever or several years in order to improve. Here's a situation where someone went to therapy for a number of months, and yet they got a tremendous improvement in their physical symptoms. Dr. Ring?
Dr. Schechter, what I think that's about is that what we're doing with these people is not just generic psychotherapy, but rather we are focusing on that mind-body split. We are focusing on both the pain that the person is suffering and also upon the emotions and psychological factors that both generate and sustain it. So we don't forget why the person has come to us.
So the therapy is more goal-oriented in that sense, even though it leads to a lot of understanding and insight that an individual typically would not get without the therapy. But its goal is to help understand the pain and the mind-body connection related to that. Another thing that was interesting that Dr. Ring was talking about was the issue of bracing, and that he was helping the individual to see that physical change occur at an earlier and earlier stage. And I believe that's one of the things that occurs when physical pain due to tension myositis syndrome gets better. An individual becomes aware of the physical sensations earlier and earlier in the process. And what we believe the process is emotional tension and stress, or repressed emotion, if you will, manifesting itself through decreased blood flow and buildup of waste products, leading to changes in the muscle, muscle spasm, tightness, pain. Then you get fear about the pain, you get more spasm, etc. And if you can interrupt that cycle, the person gets better.
Yeah. You might notice, those of you who are listening to this, that we're not talking about an illness or disorder here. We're really talking about a process that every human being is potentially subject to, which is that we have strong feelings about things, particularly if life has perhaps been hard on us in one way or another. We live lives that demand a lot from us, and these things we're talking about, these ways that the emotions manifest themselves in the body, is something everyone is potentially subject to.
That's an excellent point. The mind-body continuum, as I prefer to call it, manifests itself with physical symptoms that are ultimately a protective mechanism. They're a way to keep emotions hidden from us. But we can learn to deal with those emotions more effectively and acknowledge them, connect to them, process them, and not have to feel the physical symptoms of this condition. Now, you have another case example you wanted to share with us today.
Yes, certainly. This is Mark, and Mark was a 54-year-old university professor who had been experiencing pain in his back and in his arms and tingling in his hands for several years. He had read the three books written by Dr. Sarno and found that his pain went away for several months, but it came back. This experience validated for him that he likely was suffering from tension myositis syndrome. A physical examination with Dr. Schechter confirmed Mark's self-diagnosis and confirmed that his pain was not a result of structural pathology. Again, he got better for a while, but the symptoms came back. Upon meeting him, I was struck by how tightly wound he was. He was obviously highly intelligent, but seemed constantly apprehensive. At first, his worry all centered around the physical pain. He believed it was tension myositis syndrome. He hated it. He did not know how to get rid of it. After a while, he was willing to talk to me more broadly about his life. In talking about his early life, he described his father as always angry and sarcastic, unsupportive emotionally, demanding, and never really satisfied with anything Mark did. Although Mark moved across the country to get away from his father, they still had weekly phone conversations in which his father would voice his disappointment with whatever Mark might be doing, and Mark felt too guilty to refuse contact with his father. In talking about his work, Mark described a dread of rejection that robbed him of satisfaction. Objectively, he was highly successful, having several times been voted Teacher of the Year and having been chairman of his department. But so many times a routine class meeting would be a nightmare for him. If the students didn't laugh at his jokes, or if any of them seemed not to accept what he said, he would get very angry. Sometimes he held it in, other times he would express it, but then he would feel guilty, and he would become obsessed with the possibility that a student would go to the dean and create trouble for him. An additional factor was that as he got older and his hair got thinner, he was starting to obsess about people seeing him as ugly. He had always taken refuge in being considered handsome, and he felt that that was leaving him. He felt that he had so little going for him to help him to face people that without having a full head of thick hair, he was just not good enough. How I came to look at Mark's tension myositis syndrome was that he felt like he was on trial all the time. Every class he taught, every social encounter he had, every time he looked in the mirror, he felt as though he was being exposed as not good enough. It seemed clear to me that inside he was still under the scrutiny of a hostile and demanding father, except now Mark was assigning that role to his students and to people around him. when he was thinking about his physical symptoms, he would be distracted from how angry he was or how worried he was about not being good enough. Mark and I met a total of 31 times for psychotherapy. This is more than a lot of people need, but his situation was complex and very entrenched, I have to say. During that time, he came to see how his focus on his back and arm pain was serving to distract him from some unpleasant truths of his life. We explored the real sources of his physical pain. He courageously looked at how angry he was at the people around him when he felt they were judging him and thinking badly of him. He managed to identify that, like many people with tension myositis syndrome, he had a deep need to be loved by everybody. He managed to connect this vulnerability to the repetitive experience of being put down by his father. He realized that he had carried that into his current life, giving present-day people the power to judge him and make him feel inadequate. Mark came to see that sometimes the other person was not judging him at all, but rather that his habit of looking for judgment and put-down from other people was creating the situation. As we worked together, his pain gradually diminished. He returned to playing tennis and other physical activities. He became less concerned with other people's opinion of him and began to accept the changes that come with getting older. If he would have a momentary pain, he would characterize it as tension myositis syndrome and not go into a tailspin. He became more comfortable in the classroom and less prone to unpleasant encounters with students. He also found that he could tolerate the conversations with his father and even found some things that he appreciated about his father. When last I saw him, he was not having significant physical pain.
Well, Dr. Ring, that's a fascinating story to hear. Thank you for sharing it with us. You know, you really point out that tension myositis syndrome is a condition of the present firmly grounded in the person's personality characteristics and in the past.
You might say that they're still having a miserable childhood.
That's well put. The personality characteristics that we very commonly see in this condition, I call the type T personality, and they include perfectionism, being self-critical, and for some people, being a people pleaser. You mentioned in this situation that Mark was very self-critical, and there were clearly self-esteem issues that related to his ability to be perceived by others as somehow deficient. They relate very clearly to his childhood and his ongoing relationship with his parents. And it sounds like a good deal of your therapy related to those issues. On an ongoing basis, there were issues of relating to his adjusting to the aging process, and we see that in many of the TMS people who are over 50. And the pain did serve as a distraction from dealing with these emotional issues more directly. The therapy undid that distraction and helped him to learn a lot more about himself.
You know, I think it's worth saying a few words about distraction. It's the cleverness of the brain that causes us to be able to distract ourselves with pain. It's not weakness that causes us to do that. It's actually kind of misdirected strength. But the problem is when you're focused on the wrong thing, you can't get anywhere toward solving it. And one way to describe what I do is I try to get the person to really dig into it and go to an understanding that does allow them to solve the pain instead of just going in a circle and re-experiencing it again and again.
That's very interesting. You also mentioned in your presentation the issue of anger. And this is one of the key emotions, although there are others, and I'd like you to address that with regard to Mark and some of the other patients that you've seen.
Okay. Well, you know, an interesting thing is the anger that we express is not always the same as the anger we might feel inside. And you could call that displaced anger. Okay. Life does make us angry. And for some people, it's not acceptable to express that, or the people they're angry at are too powerful for them to dare express it. It doesn't just go away. Call it conservation of energy if you want. But anger that we don't really deal with does not go away. It's more like your pet dog than it is like your pet rock. If you put it in the cellar, it's still down there tearing up things, barking, getting angrier and angrier. But anger really can be worked with. And anger can really cease to be a problem, but before you can work with it and make it not a problem, you have to appreciate that the pain that you're feeling, the physical pain, is a stand-in for anger.
And ultimately, this is a very hopeful discussion we're having. These are two examples out of many others that you could have chosen of patients that we have worked together to help to treat using this mind-body approach. And I think that these examples and the detail you've given us have been very helpful in understanding the treatment for tension myositis syndrome, which is a treatable but painful condition, which is ultimately hopeful in that you can improve with insight into its cause.
I agree.
And thank you very much for talking to me today, and I look forward to further discussions and possibly doing other podcasts with you as well.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Dr. Schechter and Dr. Ring, for this very practical and informative discussion of pain, TMS, and psychology. Also, thanks to you, our listeners. You can give us feedback on this program by visiting www.smi-mindbodyresearch.org and emailing myself or Dr. Schechter. Dr. Ring's website is www.arlenring.com. That's ARLENRING.com. Dr. Schechter's website on TMS is www.mindbodymedicine.com. Thanks for listening.